You don't have to go undercover to become a better boss. It's episode 222, BoolaNetwork.com, the podcast. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at BoolaNetwork.com. You can find the show notes for today's episode right there. Boola, B-U-L-A, /222. There a TV show back in the 70s, Room 222. Like this inner city high school. I watched it. Some crazy kid with an enormously large red afro. He was a white kid. I remember his character. Don't remember much else about the show. Room 222. Well, today is episode 222. Undercover Boss is a CBS TV show. You might have seen it. Maybe not. I'll assume that you have not. So let me kind of tell you a little bit about it. The storyline is always the same. A senior executive, it's usually a CEO or a COO or a president, they go undercover inside their own company with a disguise. And for a week, they pretend that they're contestants in a reality TV show where they're competing for a job. And each day, they will do a different job inside the company. For example, this last week, the CEO of the Larry H. Miller Group of Companies, owners of the Utah Jazz NBA team, Greg Miller, his dad was Larry H., Greg Miller went undercover, and he helped put down the basketball flooring in the arena. He worked the concession stands one day. He worked as part of that halftime dunk team, and he also worked in the crowd with the folks who helped give fans up in the upper deck in the nosebleed section to give those fans a really good experience. And that's the sort of thing that happens in every episode. Now, along the way, the boss will interact up close and personal with whoever is training him, the people that are showing him the ropes. And these workers will share their insights about their work. They'll share insights about the company. They don't know they're talking to the boss. And they will also share their own personal lives. And the bosses all very quickly discover that by being in the trenches, they see things that need to be improved. And they also find employees. They find employees who are battling adversity at work and at home. And it's part of the human interest story, part business lesson and part entertainment. But in the end, the undercover boss reveals his true identity, and he rewards the employees with recognition and some personal help. For instance, last week, Greg Miller, he paid off some medical bills. He paid off a car loan, and he gave some money to employees for college funds. I find every episode, and I don't watch it faithfully, but when I do watch it, every episode is just, it's heartwarming as you hear the stories of courage and commitment and dedication from these employees, and as you see the boss connect with frontline people in a very meaningful way. In a way that he couldn't while he's staying in the executive suite. How to grow as a boss without going undercover? Do you have to put on a disguise and fool your employees in order to become a better boss? Okay, well, maybe it helps. And maybe it'll help you get some firsthand stories and some information if they really don't know that they're talking to the boss. But there are other ways, and I think there are other things that every boss can do to learn the same things that we see the undercover boss learn. Let me give you four. Number one, become a student, not a teacher. The very first thing that you see every undercover boss do, well, besides take on a disguise, is they take on a job they don't know how to do. They introduce themselves, of course, as their alias to this employee. Usually it is a relatively low-level employee doing an actual job, not a supervisor. And the employee will show them the work, teach them, and then let them give it a try. And almost always the boss stumbles, and usually they stumble and they do terribly. And the employee is usually very patient and trying to help them get it and showing them where they're going wrong. And over the course of doing this lower level work, the boss always comes to understand, you know, the job is much tougher than they really thought. And by doing this work, they have a new appreciation for the commitment of this employee and others like this employee who are doing thankless work. The benefit of the disguise, of course, is that it forces the boss to remain incognito. I mean, they've got to stay in character. And that forces the boss to be a student and stay a student without pulling out that, hey, I'm the boss card. Well, as a boss, can you devote yourself to being a student of lower level employees? Can you commit yourself to stay in character as a student? Well, the more you could do that, the more you can do that, and the longer you can sustain it without thinking that you're too good for this, the better. You'll quickly learn to appreciate the work, and I think you'll quickly learn to appreciate the worker. And additionally, I think you'll be in a position to better serve your people. Well, because now you're going to be armed with better information. You're going to be armed with better information to remove the constraints and the challenges and the problems that might be holding them back from doing better. And that's the beauty of the boss doing this tough work. The boss has the authority to go back and affect real change. I mean, the person on the assembly line who encounters some problem, I remember watching one, and it was the Mack truck factory, and one of the workers was a woman. And when this robot would turn the engine upside down, and her job was to put on the front part of the engine. And when it would turn over, well, there would be some oil and stuff that would drip out onto the floor. And so she had found some kind of a cloth type cover that had elastic around it that she would put over the entire bottom of the engine. She had done this of her own initiative. And before the engine would turn over for her to do her job, before the robot would turn this contraption over, she would drape this thing around it, put the elastic, tuck it in, and then when this thing turned over, okay, it didn't make a mess in her workspace. Then when she did her job and the engine would turn itself back over, she'd take it off. I mean, the company hadn't done this. She had done this because she just got tired of slipping around on the floor. The boss had no idea that this was going on. How could he? How could he know this? The beauty is now he can go back to his executive suite and he can now say, we need to do this. This is something that we need to do. This employee doesn't need to be doing this on her own. As a boss, lower yourself. Be willing to go to the factory floor. Be willing to go to the sales floor. Be willing to go to the accounting clerk's cubicle. Any other place where the work is happening. No job is too low or too high, obviously. Become the student. Behave like the student. Lose yourself in the moment and stay there for as long as it takes for you to learn all that you can. Number two. Get personal by being personable. Now, in the course of being vulnerable enough to become a student, the undercover boss always finds out more about the person teaching them. If not during the work, then on a break. The boss is going to ask this employee about their family. And it's during those conversations that the human element of the work comes to the forefront. Employees will often talk about family medical woes. They may talk about children or parents who need special attention. They may talk about a recent death or some other challenge that is a burden to them away from work. Naturally, the employee, not knowing that it's the big cheese sitting across from them, they'll ask the undercover boss about their family too, because, you know, it's what we do. Well, it's what we do if we have an ounce of empathy. Someone asks us about our family or our situation. We, in turn, we ask about theirs. And that happens on Undercover Boss. These are often the conversations that hit the boss the hardest. Hearing these stories of hardship, they seem to always make the boss realize just how exceptional many employees are because, well, they're often very good at masking these problems. I mean, for example, a young lady at the Utah Jazz basketball games, she's just all smiles and she's bubbly with fans during the game. That's her job. She's there to serve those upper deck people and make sure that they have a good time. And so she's leading cheers and she's interacting with fans. And she just seems like the most carefree person on the planet. Until privately, the undercover boss finds out that her heart is heavy because her mom is under tremendous financial strain as a result of some unpaid medical bills. And had the boss not asked her about her personal life, he couldn't have possibly known because she was so good at her job of making sure fans were having a great time. You couldn't tell anything was bothering this young lady. As you're being taught, be interested in the person teaching you. Engage them just the way any peer would. Ask about their family. Get to really know them. And avoid making this a one-way street. Be vulnerable. Be vulnerable by sharing your story with them. And I don't mean your corporate accolades. I mean your family struggles. And don't make it a one-upsmanship contest. But make them feel like they know you better in the same way that you're trying to get to know them better. Yeah, I know. That's asking for a lot if you're a boss. But I'm going to encourage you to do it. Number three, thank and recognize employees for their work. The undercover boss eventually reveals himself to the employees one at a time. Of course, they think that this is a contestant show where the undercover boss is, he's one of perhaps two people who are vying for this job or something, trying to win this show. And so they think that they're coming in to give a report card, basically say, okay, here's how we think the guy did. Well, one at a time, they come into the room, and of course, he's himself now. He's usually got his suit on and the disguise, well, that's been put away. And right away, the boss compliments the employee with personal recognition. I have seen a few episodes where the employee, frankly, did a bad job and the boss did not thank or recognize them. Tried to, but there clearly was a problem. I'm recalling one show in particular where the employee was just surly with customers and the boss, it was everything he could do to not correct her on the spot because he was undercover. But once he got them in a one-on-one situation at the end of the show, yeah, he told them how disappointed he was. But he put a positive spin on it, as I recall, in that he wanted this employee to go through additional training. But that's an exception to the rule. Most of the time, these people, the boss has seen that they've done a good job. In many cases, they've done an extraordinary job, and he compliments them on that job. Personal recognition. And he may say something like, you know, I was so impressed with how you went about doing your job of making sure the fans were having a great time. Your energy and your personality, they're a true gift to our fans, and I appreciate your work very much. Can you imagine a boss telling you that? I mean, any employee's heart would soar if a boss told them that. Well, I've got a question. So why don't more bosses do that? Because they don't understand leadership. Because they see themselves as more important than the employees. Because they think it's soft and it may lead to complacency. because they're so used to facing problems and solving problems, they've forgotten, well, maybe they never learned, how to celebrate wins. Because they genuinely don't care about their employees. Why don't you thank and recognize employees? Why don't you thank and recognize employees and their work more? Why don't you do that better? I'm thinking of all the times that we've seen professional athletes perform well in the face of great adversity. I mean, here in Dallas, Texas, there's that famous game. I don't remember who the opponent was, but Emmett Smith, he had separated his shoulder and he continued to run and bring the Cowboys to a victory in that game. And I remember it making all of the, it was just the talk of the entire sports community all over the nation. What a courageous performance that had been. Well, as I record this episode, we are in the throes of the 2014 Stanley Cup playoffs in the National Hockey League. And I'm a hockey guy, so I'm going to use a hockey illustration. The New York Rangers are currently doing battle against the Montreal Canadiens. And the Rangers began their playoff run. There are four teams left right now, but they began their playoff run in, frankly, in pretty lackluster fashion. But then something happened. Some adversity hit that locker room like a ton of bricks. Martin St. Louis, a player who just entered their locker room at the trade deadline coming from Tampa Bay, I mean, this was just mere months ago, so this is not a guy who's been in their locker room for a long, long time. He's not been through all the battles of this season even with this team, but he lost his mom just days before Mother's Day, and her death was unexpected, and so naturally his teammates, they just felt awful for him. And after spending brief time with his family, he returned to the team because he said it's what his mom would have wanted. And his family supported it. And he played in the very next game. He didn't miss a single game. He just refused to leave his teammates. And it had a profound impact on that locker room. His teammates pulled together like never before, and the team went on a winning spree. They went on a tear, and they advanced to the next round. And during the break between rounds, his mother's funeral was attended by the entire team and coaching staff. And Martin St. Louis, he played extremely well during all of this. He's still playing extremely well. And we look at that and we applaud such valiant effort when we see it in athletes. But we don't do that at our work. We don't do that in our organization. Why not? Mostly, I think, because we don't have a clue what adversity other people are facing. I mean, for the athlete, storylines are being sought out by reporters galore. That's not happening for the line worker in a Mack truck factory. That's not happening to the young lady who's at a Utah Jazz basketball game in the upper decks trying to make sure the fans up there who've bought the cheap seats have a great experience. We don't know what kind of adversity these people are facing, and we don't care. We tell ourselves that's none of our business. You know, that's their personal life. And we convince ourselves that work is work and the work must be done. And we don't care about her situation or his situation. It's a mistake. It's a mistake that leaders make every single day. Drive your employees hard. Demand high performance. That's all fine. That's well. That's good. But you've got to take the time. You've got to make the time to thank and recognize employees for their work. Let me appeal to your business sensibilities, because you're business folks. How much does thanks and recognition cost? Nothing. Nothing other than a bit of time. Nothing. Nothing other than a bit of awareness and effort on your part as the boss. The capital investment in recognition and thanks is nothing. Nothing. Well, it can be nothing. Sure, you can give people rewards or awards, but let's not get ahead of ourselves here. For now, just remain focused on thanking and recognizing. Thanking and recognizing. What's the ROI on thanks and recognition? Immeasurable. That's the answer. Now, maybe somebody smarter than me can quantify it, but in all my years of leading people and managing processes, I've never been able to quantify or measure the ROI on thanks and recognition. However, I do know that it's a little bit like those MasterCard commercials, you know. It's priceless. I mean, how can you measure the power of feeling good? How can you measure the power of having high morale? How can you measure the impact on someone's heart when they sit across from you, the boss, and you tell them, "I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed with your work, and I'm so thankful that we are so fortunate to have you as an employee." How do you measure that? Athletes talk about being in the zone. Do you ever think about your employees being in the zone? Well, you should, because it can happen with your employees too. In fact, it should happen. And as the boss, you can impact helping people find the zone. And the most effective way that you can do that is by thanking them and recognizing them for the work they do. If you're sitting across from the boss and the boss looks you in the eyes and says, "I can't tell you how happy I am that you're here. I can't tell you how pleased I am that you are part of our team. Your work is exceptional." Are you going to leave that meeting and slack off? You're going to get complacent? You're going to get big-headed? No, you're going to get in the zone. This is great. This is terrific. You leave that man's office, that woman's office, and you do not want to let them down. If you want your sales team to sell more, thank and recognize them. And then sit back and watch them sell more. They will. I guarantee they will. If you want your accounting staff to process paperwork more efficiently, thank and recognize them. Then you just stand back and you watch them find ways to be more efficient. You want your engineering staff to solve problems faster? Thank them. Recognize them. And then you sit back and you just watch them find a faster gear. Every boss I've ever worked with knows and understands that you get what you reward, but very few of them make that part of their daily work habit. Because most bosses are given to the stick and carrot business model, except they gravitate toward using the stick and they forget all about the carrot. If employees never get to taste the carrot, but they're constantly being beaten with the stick, in time, they quickly learn there is no carrot. The carrot's a fiction. Nothing will move them toward higher performance because there's no carrot. And eventually, what you're going to do is you're going to leave your people beaten to death by the stick by the side of the road. And it's your fault. You're the boss. It's completely your fault. Catch people doing good work. Look for it. Search it out. Do that every day. I'll go you one better. Do it every hour. Every hour, make it a point to find someone doing good work and then thank and recognize them for doing it. Make it your business to lead the cheers, to celebrate the victories by merely thanking people and letting them know how genuinely appreciative you are of their work. Will it take effort? You bet. Especially if you've never been used to doing it, and that includes far too many bosses, by the way, who've never done it. But you start doing it, and you keep doing it, and you make it a trademark of your leadership, and you will be rewarded more than you ever imagined by people who will run through a wall for you. Because we all want to be recognized. We all want to feel special. And it's your job as the boss to make employees feel special. Don't neglect that. Number four, reward good work with a gift. The undercover boss at the end of the show, in each one of these one-on-one meetings, will end the meeting by doling out rewards to the employee. And it may be a contribution to a father for his children's college fund. Maybe it's a paid trip to Disneyland. As I said this past week, the owner of the Utah Jazz, he paid off a car loan of an employee. And he went even further. He bought him a second car because this man and his wife, they were both working two jobs each, and they only had one car between them. Now, I'm not saying that you got to buy new cars or give away expensive trips, but I am saying you can't neglect investing rewards in your employees. And yes, that means spending some money. How much? That's up to you. Now, don't be fooled. Do not be fooled into the stupid idea that because you can't do it for everybody, then you're not going to do it for anybody. Remember, these rewards are gifts. They're not democratic, and they're not systematic, and they're not automatic either. And in fact, the kind of rewards I'm talking about have nothing to do with compensation. So don't think about commissions or bonuses here, because that's not what I'm talking about. The undercover boss doesn't dole out extra commissions or bonuses. The boss recognizes the work of the employee and gives them a gift that can help them. Hey, husbands, do you give your wife a gift on your wedding anniversary? Why do you do that? Moms, do you give your children gifts on their birthday? Why? I mean, just because another year's passed? That warrants a gift? No, it's not merely the passing of another year. It's the fact that this person's important to you. This person means something to you. You love this person. And you want to show them. The gift is an expression. It's not the only expression, but it's an expression of that love. It's an expression of that concern. It's an expression of that appreciation. And when you, the boss, give an employee a gift as a reward and recognition for good work, you're letting them know how important they are to you and the organization. And the difference between these gifts and those anniversary or birthday gifts is they're completely random based on extraordinary work of the employee. On Undercover Boss, the employees never expect what the boss does for them. They're always blindsided by what the boss has done. In fact, in the Mack Truck Show, there was a man and he collected old Mack trucks, and he told the undercover boss when he took him by his garage to show him these vehicles, and the boss said, "Well, how do you come up with the parts?" And he said, "Well, you know, you just got to do what you got to do." And he said, "You know, I save and I barter around and I kind of do what I got to do." Well, the undercover boss gave him a $5,000 gift certificate to go toward Mack truck parts so that he could get some of his trucks back up and running. And the older gentleman looked at him and immediately said, with watery eyes, "Oh, that's too much. I can't take that." Well, he did take it. The boss insisted that he take it. But the point is, he didn't see that coming. He didn't see that coming at all. It was extraordinary. And that's what these are. That's how it needs to be in your organization. Your gifts of recognition should not be expected. You know, employees expect commissions. They expect bonuses, provided they know the rules going in and provided that they've met the standard to collect those things. They just expect that. Okay, that's not the same thing. That's compensation. That's not a gift. They earned that. Nobody earns a gift. Your children turn another year older doesn't mean that they earned whatever birthday present you buy for them. You did it because you wanted to, not because they earned it. A gift is a surprise that says, "I appreciate all you do." So don't ruin it by making it some standard, systemized practice. Keep it random. Keep it fresh. Keep it surprising. I'm thinking of that employee of the month kind of a plaque. I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying, okay, that doesn't qualify. That ain't a gift. It's recognition. But some of those things just become so rote procedure, you know, nobody cares. be gracious. These are gifts. They can be whatever you want, given however you want. Don't sweat keeping score. Don't try to make things equal. If once a year you want to give an employee an all-expenses-paid trip to Disneyland, do it. Don't avoid doing it because you can't do that for every employee. Who cares? Find somebody and give it to them. Make a big deal of it. Recognize them. If six times a year you want to give an employee an Apple iPad or some other cool toy, okay, do it. Just do it. I mean, remember, make it unexpected. Make it a surprise. Now, it's got to be genuine, and you've got to show employees that you're doing it because you know how hard they work and how well they work and that they're making a difference in your company and that you appreciate what they do. It's a gift. Today is Memorial Day here in America. It's a day when our country celebrates the ultimate sacrifice made by members of the armed forces throughout the history of our country. Lots of people are off work today. And if the weather permits, families are spending time outside together. They're enjoying the day off. It's a three-day weekend for a lot of folks. If you're a boss, do yourself a favor. Take a bit of time to consider all the benefits of becoming a better boss by embracing the strategies of Undercover Boss. Make the lives of your employees memorable by showing them how important they are to your success as a leader and how meaningful they are to the work of your organization, your company. You want your employees to be better, don't you? Then why don't you show them how determined you are to show them how willing you are to be better too? That makes sense, doesn't it? Hope you have a safe, happy Memorial Day. And then tomorrow, I want you to get busy making this week memorable for your employees. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is Bula, BULA, network.com. This is the L Studio.